The Fight for Flight, read by Vanna Vance, by Nick Arnold, illustrated by Tony DeSalles. Horrible Science Book. Introduction. This foolish man is about to test a dodgy homemade pair of wings. Smashing new invention. Smash. Well, what do you expect? Humans aren't designed to fly. As you can find out in this book, it's called The Fight for Flight because it tells the story of the battle to build flying machines. We'll be reliving the terror, the triumphs, and the tears, and finding out why hundreds of people got killed. Our route will cover the death-defying facts about flying, the blood-curdling blunders of Barmy, balloons, and awesome airships, the fearsome flops of human-powered flight, the dreadful downfalls of grisly gliders, aeroplanes without engines, the plane-crazy perils of aeroplanes, jets, and hair-raising helicopters, and the fateful future of flight. This book's sure to be scary and exciting, and by the time you've finished it, you'll have logged more fearsome facts than the average teacher tots up in a lifetime. But afterwards, you may find yourself thinking more about flight, and even whether air travel is a good thing. We'll be taking off very soon, but first, here are a few vital safety announcements. This book includes grisly, gruesome bits. You may want to keep your sick bag handy. Romsack. Another safety warning. This book is designed for reading only and should not be used as a glider, a missile, clonk, or a parachute. There is some science in this book, but it's been cushioned with lots of jokes to stop it damaging your brain too much. Yet another safety warning. We'd like to warn readers that it's a very bad idea to try to copy the crazy people and stupid stunts in this book. Yes, only airheads prance around on the wings of an aircraft 1,000 meters in the air. And as for leaping off tall buildings armed with a pair of feathery wings, that's only suitable for our bird brains. Provided you follow these warnings, this book is perfectly safe to read. You may feel an urge to giggle, but this is perfectly normal. In fact, the jokes have been tested on teachers, and although rather old, they're very reliable. And that goes for the jokes, too. Well, thank you for listening. You are now cleared to fly. So, if you'll kindly fasten your safety belt and turn the page, we can take to the air. Have a horrible flight. Just joking, arg, or, Death-defying flying facts. This chapter is all about why planes fly and don't flop out of the sky like soggy pancakes. But before we get to grips with their soaraway secrets, let's check out how it feels to fly. The date, today. The time, evening. The place, any airport in the world. You're about to fly. Your plane waits on the runway like a high jumper ready for their run-up. How do you feel? Tense? Nervous? Just a teeny-weeny bit scared? Will the plane really fly, you worry? Or will it plummet from the sky with a crash, a bang, and a splat? And how can anything as heavy as a plane fly anyway? All is silent except for the whining engines. Then they moan louder and louder until they set your teeth on edge. The plane starts to move. The engines throb and whir, and all at once the plane races forward. You see the airfield hurtle past. It's all a blur, and before you know it, the plane soars upwards. Your ears pop as the ground drops away, and the plane climbs toward the rolling clouds. Then, all at once, you're as high as the clouds, and the ground is a map seen from above. Up in the dark evening sky, a lone star gleams. Yes, flying is magic. I mean, when you fly, you get to see loads of things that you don't normally see. Stuff like the tops of the clouds. Cool! Eh? What's cool? The sun shining above the clouds. But it was raining just now. And if you're really lucky, you could get to see the sunset for the second time in a day. If you take off after sunset, the sun reappears as you fly higher. Look, Dad, there's another one! The shadow of the earth. You can see the curving shadow to the east on the tops of clouds after sunset. But the most amazing sensation is to have nothing under your feet. Nothing except the plain floor and 7,000 meters of empty air. A quick note about heights. I hope you're not scared of heights, because there are lots of hair-raising heights and dizzying drops in this book. Here are a few to get you worried. 11,300 meters. Highest flying bird, a vulture, was hit by a plane in 1973. Splat. Poor bird. 10,000 meters. Wispy cirrus clouds. 8,800 meters. Mount Everest. 1,800 meters. Top of cotton wool cumulus cloud. 1,400 meters. Base of cumulus clouds. C'est très haut. 320 meters. Eiffel Tower. 5 meters. A giraffe. Yes, I am. Hi. 0.4 meters. Height of your chair. Unless you happen to be sitting in a high chair. It feels scary but thrilling to fly so high, and to get this thrill, people have lost their lives and broken their legs and done terrible things to puppies and kittens. But before we get to grips with these fearsome facts, we need to find out exactly how planes fly. A crash course in how planes fly. We've asked Brainy Boffins, Professor N. Large, and Wanda Y. to build us a plane. Hi, what do you think? Professor N. Large, Wanda Y., tittles. Hiya! And now all we need is a fearless pilot to show us how it flies. Any volunteers? Well, we just heard of a hard-up, hard-boiled New York private eye hole. Do anything for cash. My gut zash, and Watson the dog. Private eye. No job too small, anything considered. Please. As luck would have it, my Gutzash used to be a pilot, but he quit for some reason. Anyway, he's agreed to find out how planes fly. And so, I wonder why I quit. Oh yeah, I get airsick. Blur, gross. Sorry about Mr. Gutzash's sickening problem. Here are the forces involved in flying. Lift from the wings raises plane in air. Drag slows the plane down as it flies. Air pressure presses on plane. This is the force of air pressing on its sides. Gravity tries to pull the plane down. Gravity pulls the stick down to earth. Thrust from the propeller pulls the plane through the air. Fearsome expressions. A scientist says, I studied the science of drag. Do you say, my science lessons are a drag too? Answer, say that and the scientist might drag you around his lab. Drag is the force made by air hitting something flying through the air. It affects planes and birds and underpants blowing off your teacher's mashing line. And the faster the object flies, the harder drag tries to slow it down. But what is this mysterious lift that raises the plane in the air? Well, in order to make sense of lift, we need to know that air is made of countless tiny clumps of atoms called molecules. They spend their time zooming about, yee-haw, wee-hey, wee, what molecules do all day. Bet you never knew. If you weighed the air in your bedroom, you'd find it weighed as much as your body. The total weight of the air around our planet is over 5 million billion billion tons. And now we can take a look at lift in action. Let's see what those air molecules are up to around the wings of Gutzash's plane. Some air rushes over and some rushes under the wings. Close-up view. I can't keep up, molecules. As they speed up, they become more widely spaced. The air molecules passing over the curved top of the wing have further to go more than the air molecules passing under the wing. This makes them speed up. The force of air pressure becomes weaker above the wing than under it, and bingo, the air pressure under the wing lifts the wing and the plane higher. Yes, every plane in the world stays up with the help of tiny air molecules. Weaker air pressure, cross-section of wing, stronger air pressure. Clever, eh? Phew, did you get all that? Oh well, it's easy to remember. You get a lift in a plane, and the plane gets a lift from its wings. And now for a quick quiz to lift your spirits. The wing shape, curved on top and flatter underneath, is called an aerofoil. Which two of the following has an aerofoil shape? A. A ski jumper's body. Please, let it be me. B. A flying custard pie. Or C. A boomerang. Answer? A. Yes. Ski jumpers lean forward as they fly to make an aerofoil shape. This keeps them in the air for longer. B. No. And don't go checking one of your little sister to find out. C. Yes, the aerofoil shape of the boomerang makes it glide through the air at 160 kilometers per hour. Bet you never knew. Native Australians used boomerangs for hunting animals. The thin edge of the boomerang came in handy for cutting open the skins of dead animals in order to get at the tasty heart, kidneys, and liver. Fetch. Stupid guy. But of course, a plane can only get lift to fly if it has wings. So can you guess what would happen if the wings fell off while the plane was flying? Well, it's just happened to my Gutzash and Watson. That's darn it. Without wings, the plane loses lift, and Gutzash and Watson have to leap for their lives. Only drag slows them down as they fall, but luckily they're wearing parachutes. The parachutes open and trap billions of air molecules, massively increasing the force of drag and slowing their fall. So they have a nice soft landing. Or trap molecules. Farmer Giles, manure heap. Splat. Grr. Well, that was scientifically interesting. By the way, I wonder where Gutzash's sick landed. Is that some kind of sick joke, Gutzash? Drip. Now, I bet you can't wait to build a plane that'll fly better than the Professor and Wanda Wise effort. And you can on page 269. But first, you'll need a bit more technical know-how. So let's start with two simple experiments. Dare you discover how life can be a drag? What you need. Two pieces of paper, but don't use your science homework, and definitely don't tear pages from this book. The pieces of paper should be the same size. What you do? 1. Screw up one of the pieces of paper. I warned you not to use your science homework. 2. Hold one piece of paper in each hand. Hold them as high as you can, and drop them a few times. Drop, drop. You should notice. The screwed up paper always hits the ground first. The flat sheet may seesaw or glide through the air. It falls more slowly because it has a larger surface area for billions of air molecules to push inside. Against. Meow. Well, air molecules. Dare you discover how to make a flying saucer? What you need? A polystyrene party or picnic plate. Better make sure there isn't a custard pie on it before I throw it. 8 1-pound coins. It might be worth asking for 1-pound coins. They're not useful for the experiment, but they are useful for spending. Sticky tape, scissors, plus a helpful adult to help with cutting. What you do? 1. Use the sticky tape to stick the coins to the rim of the plate as shown. That looks great, but Dad, they work even better with 1-pound coins. Top of plate, 1-pound coin, sticky tape. 2. Practice throwing the plate upside down. That's holding the plate upside down, not standing on your head. By the way, you only need a gentle waft of your wrist to throw the plate. It doesn't work if you chuck it. Meow, chuck. 3. Throw the plate the right way up. Verbal health warning. Your flying saucer will fly best indoors, but don't practice throwing it near valuable china, brothers, sisters, or family pets. Crack. You should notice, 1, when you throw it upside down, the plate should glide smoothly through the air. If it doesn't, flick it more gently. Upside down, it forms an aerofoil shape and flies like the well-known toy called a frisbee. The aerofoil shape lifts the flying saucer just like the wings on Gutvash's plane before the wings fall off. Weaker air pressure, stronger air pressure. 2, when it's the right way up, the plate doesn't have an aerofoil shape and so it crashes. This is getting ridiculous. But frisbees aren't the only things that glide. Birds such as seagulls glide too, as you'll find out on page 231. Birds glide and fly so well because their wings are aerofoil shaped. And now here's a pigeon to explain how they compare to planes. Watch the birdie. 1, bird wings. I may be a bird brain, but I've got wonderful wings. Aerofoil shaped wing for lift. Light, strong feathers. Primary flight feathers. Unlike planes, we birds flap our wings. I beat my wings down and forward to pull myself forward. So long, fish breath. Bet you never knew. 1. According to legend, in 1500 BC, King Kai Kaius of Persia was flown to China by eagles tied to his throne. The eagles were flapping after some goat's meat stuck on spears just out of reach. Sadly, when they got to China, the birds guzzled the meat and the miserable monarch was stuck in the desert. 2. But that didn't stop an inventor in Baltimore, USA. In 1865, he dreamt up an eagle-powered flying machine. The eagles could be steered using cords, but they might not have worked if the eagles had spotted a tasty rabbit far below. Eek! Psst! I'll let you into a secret. These machines were as useless as a hamster in a bodybuilding contest. In fact, all attempts to fly like a bird with flapping wings risked a messy death. Which is a bit scary, because a little bird tells me the next chapter is full of them. Oh well, at least it's got parachutes in it too. Yippee, I'm flying! Big-brained birdman plunging parachutes. Have you ever had a secret urge to be a bird? Me neither. I mean, I don't even like budgie seed. But that's probably how the story of human flight began. People looking at birds and longing to soar into the sky as free as a bird. And they told stories about the people who could fly. Let's look at these dusty old legends. Cough, splutter. Maybe they're a bit too dusty. Escape from Crete. Daedalus was the greatest inventor in Greece, but he had a problem. He was stuck on the island of Crete, and its mean-minded king, Minos, wasn't going to let him and his son, Icarus, leave. "What more do you want, your majesty?" grumbled Daedalus. "I've designed a maze for your half-human, half-bull monster to live in. Now I want to go home. Ha-ha, you'll have to fly first," jeered the cruel king. That gave Daedalus an idea, and secretly he built 2 pairs of wings from feathers and wax, one for Icarus and one for himself. "Now, son," said Daedalus, "these wings are our ticket out of here. They've only got one problem. The wax melts easily, so don't you go flying too close to the sun." "I won't," promised Icarus. One morning, before King Minos' men could stop them, the brave pair launched themselves from a cliff and flew over the sea. "Whee, this is cool," laughed Icarus as he whizzed over the waves like a seagull. On and on they flew, but Icarus forgot his promise and began to soar higher and higher until he was close to the sun. The heat melted the wax which dripped from the wings, and before Daedalus could save him, the wings fell to bits. With a cry of horror, Icarus plunged from the sky like a sack of potatoes. "Arg!" splosh! He hit the sea far below, and that was the end of him. Daedalus made it to Greece, but he spent the rest of his days mourning his lost son, and he never flew anywhere again. The Happy Hat Trick. Young Shun had a problem. His dad didn't like him big time and had him locked up. Shun escaped disguised as a bird, but his dreaded dad caught him. The boy escaped a second time, this time disguised as a dragon. Now, if you ask me, the guards must have been a bit dozy. I mean, wouldn't you notice if a giant goose hopped past your nose? And wouldn't you look twice if a huge scaly dragon slithered over your shoes? Anyway, Shun's dad wasn't too impressed by his son's acting ability and decided to do him in. So he locked poor Shun in a high tower and set it on fire. Surely, thought the dastardly dad, this time I'll cook Shun's goose and his dragon, too. But Shun had one more card to play. Seizing 2 big reed hats, the boy leapt fearlessly from the tower and floated harmlessly to the ground. And after that, you won't be too surprised to know that Shun became emperor of China and his dad? Well, the legend doesn't say, but I hope he severed a fearsome fate. The reed hats were probably too small to act like parachutes and slow the boy's fall. But supposing they were extra large hats, it's just possible that the parachute was invented in ancient China. As for the Daedalus story, that couldn't possibly be true. But don't take my word for it. Here's our pigeon pal to tell us why humans can't fly like birds. Watch the birdie, too, the best body to fly. To lift your heavy human body, you'd need 28-meter square wings, 122-centimeter thick chest muscles. Bet you wish you had a body like mine. X-ray view. Lungs. Hollow lightweight bones. Powerful chest muscles, power wings. Airspace to store extra air to breathe. You humans had better stay on the ground, like that dumb cat. Of course, if there had been horrible science books 1,000 years ago, the people you're just about to meet might have read that last bit and decided to throw away their rings. But come to think of it, they were foolish enough to jump anyway. There are foolish fall guys. One, Bladud. Date, 863 BC. Day job, king of Britain, according to legend. Educated in Athens and founder of the first English college. If he invented schools, he sure had it coming. Flying machine, feathered wings. Deadly downfall, off the top of a temple. Rotten result, splat. Bloody for Blad. I'm the king of the... splat. To Oliver of Malmesbury. Date, 1029. Day job, English monk. Flying machine, feathered wings. Deadly downfall, off the tower of Malmesbury Abbey. Rotten result, two broken legs. Oddball Ollie blamed his dangerous dive on not sticking a feathered tail on his battered bum. Oh, hell, I mean, heavens. 3. Giovanni Battista Danti. Date, 1503. Day job, Italian mathematician. Flying machine, feathered wings. Deadly downfall, his first glide over a lake left him unhurt, so he celebrated by jumping off Perugia Cathedral. Rotten result, serious injury. Should have stuck to my day job. 4. Marquis de Bacqueville. Date, 1732. Day job, French nobleman. Flying machine, wings on his arms and legs. Deadly downfall, tried to fly across the river seen in Paris. Rotten result, crashed into a washerwoman's dirty old barge and broke both his legs. Ugh, I'm going insane. The sick insect brain nobleman was described as a man who was a little crazy but who has lots of spirit. Moi? I'm not a little crazy, I'm quite a big crazy. And you might say that about the rest of them, too. And the dozens of other tower jumpers I haven't got time to tell you about. So what's the answer? I hear you cry. Well, they could have tied themselves to a giant kite. Fearsome Flight Fact File. Name, how a kite works. The basic facts? 1. As a kite leans into the wind, the air molecules hit the underside of the kite and slide down it. Force of the wind, air molecules. But what are they for? No idea. Tight string. Whoa. Weight of the tail keeps the kite steady. 2. The kite can't blow away because you're holding the string tight, so don't let go. 3. The force of the wind keeps the kite in the air. The fearsome details. 1. The kite was invented in China around 200 BC when General Han Hsin was lifted up at night to scare an enemy army. The man carrying kites were used to spy on enemy armies. 2. According to Italian traveler Marco Polo, 1254 to 1324, stupid or drunken men were picked for this perilous job, and some men were tied to kites as a punishment. Let's hope your ancient teacher doesn't think of this torture. I think she's sorry, sir. But for the half-witted, human-powered flight fans in this chapter, a kite was out of the question. It wasn't powered by humans, and it was far too sensible. Some of them were dreaming of quite complicated machines, and they were even more silly. The Grand All-Comers Silly Human-Powered Flying Machine Competition. Grand prize for the silliest flying machine. Free medical care. One way or another, you're going to need it. 1. Vincent de Groof's Combined Parachute and Flapping Flying Machine. Nationality, Belgium. Date, 1873. Arg! Vincent de Groof, getting in a flap. Advantages? It worked the first time in Belgium as a parachute. Pity the flapping wings were useless. Disadvantages? It didn't work in a later test over London. The frame broke and the machine was a dead loss. Sadly, de Groof was an even deader loss. Judge's verdict? The machine isn't strong enough to fly. I'd rather bounce up and down on an exploding whoopee cushion than go up in that thing. 2. Leonardo da Vinci's flapping machine. Nationality, Italian. Date, about 1,500. Yes, no. The ground. Advantages? It looked kind of arty in Leo's sketchbook, but then he was a great artist. Disadvantages? If anyone had built it and flown it, they would have found they didn't have enough muscle power to flap the wings. Judge's verdict? It would make a good exercise machine. 3. Jacob Degen's flapping flying machine and balloon. Nationality, Swiss. Day 1809. He thinks that adding wings will help him win. Ignore this bit. Advantages? The machine hangs from a balloon, so it flies even if the wings don't work. Disadvantages? The wings don't work. Judge's verdict? Grr. This machine is a disgrace. Using a balloon to fly is cheating. Degen is disqualified and he's been suspended. Hold on, he's already suspended from the balloon. But she never knew. In 1809, a crowd in Paris was so cross that Degen's invention wasn't a proper flying machine that they chased Dodgy Degen out of town. And don't come back! 4. Dr. W.O. Iyer's pedal-powered propeller thingy. Nationality, USA. Day 1885. Cardboard clouds for added effect. Advantages? It would make a great kiddie's climbing frame or even a bedstead. You had to paddle very hard to pump the tubes full of air that in turn power the propellers, so it kept you fit. Disadvantages? Everyone laughed at you. Judge's verdict? The propellers would never get enough power to lift anything heavier than a hamster. But it's a worthy runner-up in our competition. It's almost silly enough to win, but not quite. 5. Jean-Pierre Blancard's sail and pedal-powered flapping machine. Nationality, French. Date, 1781. Prepare for your takeoff. Advantages include a musician to play soothing music so you wouldn't get scared. Guaranteed 100% safe. It's too heavy to leave the ground. Disadvantages? See advantages, especially the bit about not flying. Judge's verdict. The winner. Easily the most freaky flying machine ever. And it's even got in flight and entertainment. Golden Brick Award. Thank you. Human-powered flight sounds a fatal flop, doesn't it? And so it was, until the 1970s when scientists built a human-powered flying machine that flew. But a lot of things happened in the story of flight before then, so you'll have to hang on until page 299 to find out what happened. And no peeping. In the meantime, the tower jumpers continued their deadly dives and the machine makers continued to create crazy contraptions. And the only reason they all weren't killed was because their wings sometimes worked like Jim's hats, as parachutes. Pity they didn't work for Faraday Group. Obviously, the parachute is a vital bit of kit for every fearless flyer. But who invented it? Well, experts argue about it until they're blue in the face and the question is a bit of a hot potato. Who invented the parachute? The fearsome flight to parachute. 1385. Leonardo da Vinci designs a parachute but doesn't test it. Any volunteers? 1779. Joseph Montgolfier makes a parachute and tests it by dropping a sheep from a tower. The sheep lands safely. Now that's what I call a woolly jumper. 1785. Our pal Jean-Pierre Blancard experiments by tying a puppy to a parachute and dropping it from a balloon. Don't try this at home. The pup was fine, but as you'll find out on page 211, Blancard was dogged by misfortune. 1808. The parachute saves its first life when Polish balloonist Jarodzki Kuparenko makes a hasty exit when his balloon catches fire. The early parachutes weren't all they were cracked up to be, and sometimes they did crack up. And my deeply dodgy mate, Honest Bob, wants to tell you some. You'd best be warned. You may want to take what he tells you with a pinch of salt, or even a few tons of salt. Honest Bob's Plain Products presents, You Can Trust Bob to Look After Your Money, and He'll Even Spend It For You, Bob's Mom. Lovely choice of parachutes, and they come in pretty colors, too. One Andre Garnerin's Perfect Parachute, 1797. This shoots a boot. You stand in the basket and get a good view of the ground before you hit it. Yours is steadier. Two Robert Calkins Parachute, 1837. It's a real classy mover, guaranteed not to swing from side to side, and you can even use it as an umbrella. Yikes! And faster!